This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. California law enforcement officials are saying that the two suspects in yesterday's San Bernardino mass shooting had more than 1,600 rounds of ammunition with them when they were killed in a gun battle with police. 14 people were murdered and at least 21 were wounded in the mass shooting. Investigators also say the attack bore all the hallmarks of a planned event. They say they found 3,000 more rounds of ammunition and 12 pipe bombs at the home of Saeed Farouk and Tafshin Malik. However, the FBI is not yet saying whether the attack was an act of terrorism. 28-year-old Farouk was a U.S. citizen who traveled internationally and returned to the U.S. with 27-year-old Malik in July 2014. Their motives are still unclear. Here's San Bernardino Police Chief Jared Burguan.
They sprayed the room with bullets, so I don't know that there was any one person that they ultimately targeted. They killed 14 people there.
And for each of those 14 people murdered, there are 14 agonizing families. Liam Lowney knows what those families are going through. On December 30th, 1994, his sister Shannon was killed by a shooter at a Brookline Planned Parenthood. His op-ed, a story that survivors know all too well, was in today's Boston Globe. Liam, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Meghna.
I, of course, am sorry that it has to be under these circumstances, but can you tell me a little bit about what, you know, families in California and, of course, in Colorado, following the Planned Parenthood shooting there last week, what are they going through right now?
Well, I think for all of us who've been impacted by violence, our experience is unique to us. I will say, both in my personal experience and having worked with survivors for the last 20 years, that there are some common themes. You know, shock. What is this new life without this person? Who is this new family without this person? We all have roles in that family, and those roles are going to change. And in the days ahead, they're going to be, you know, struggling with those questions. What do I do? Where do I go? There can be very, very practical impacts on their ability to work and support themselves that are going to impact them in the long term. But right now, it's just trying to understand their place in this world and how something like this could happen.
When this happened to you and your family 21 years ago, I don't want to say how long did it take to return to normal, because there's no such thing after something like that happens. But how long did it take for you and your family to come to a place where life could return to as normal as possible?
Well, I think it becomes, we see our life as before and after. Traditions change. Family Christmas traditions, as an example, you know, there was a tradition that my sisters used to get the same present, and they would each get a half a card. And if you got a half card, you open your present at the same time. Well, we really couldn't do half cards once Shannon was gone for my sisters. And so your traditions change. It's not normal. It's not the same. You have a new family. My mother put it very well at one point, where she said, you don't get over it. You incorporate it into your life. It becomes a part of who you are. And so as years and time have gone on, we've definitely done that.
So what does it make you think or feel knowing that so many more families are experiencing what you and your family have experienced? Because just, you know, yesterday and today, there was this sort of new round of reporting that seemed to indicate that just this year alone, the United States has had more mass shootings, by one definition at least, than days in the calendar year.
The numbers are atrocious and obscene to me, in the amount of families that have experienced what we have. And it's the families who are left behind, absolutely. But we can't forget, there are individuals that are just gone. Their promise, that what they contributed to our world. Shannon, as an example, was 25. She was going to be a social worker. She was working with women for clinics, trying to make sure they had access to healthcare. That ended on December 30th of 1994, and she's no longer here. We were left to struggle with her loss, but her promise was cut short at 25. All of those families, it's staggering to me the amount of people since 21 years ago, and we and our nation just have gotten used to it.
So tell me more about that. I mean, does it feel to you that the nation, I mean, you just said it, that the nation has got used to it. I mean, on the one hand, that may be kind of true, but on the other hand, like, every time this happens, at least collectively as a nation, for a day, we all stop and think, how is this happening again? But that just doesn't seem enough to curb the trend.
Absolutely. I mean, every time this happens nationally, we come together as a nation and we say, this is terrible. And we send gifts and we send support and we establish funds to help families, which is fantastic. And we should be doing that. We take a moment of silence. But we don't do anything to stop it. We don't stand up and say, this is enough. This new normal, as I like to call it, is not an acceptable new normal. The idea that a mass tragedy can happen within 5 days of each other between Colorado and what just happened yesterday in San Bernardino.
I mean, this is a kind of world that we're living in, that you were working on this op-ed for the Boston Globe after the Colorado Planned Parenthood shooting at the end of last week, and you had to adjust it because of what happened yesterday.
I was. I had to edit it to include another shooting. I started doing it because I was so offended that the Colorado shooting had happened.
Yeah.
It's a travesty.
Yeah. So let me ask you, this is kind of a delicate thing to walk around, but how soon is it after something like this happens for us to talk about guns?
Well, for me personally, it's time to talk about guns, and we are 20 years overdue for talking about guns, and probably more than that. It needs to be a regular part of the conversation. For me, we do, and it lasts for a day or so until we're misdirected and told to talk about something else, whether it's poverty, whether it's broken mental health system, whether it's the issues between race relations, all of which are important issues to address. But until we get guns out of the hands of people that would do violence to other people, we can't have those conversations safely.
Mm. I asked that because in a press conference today, San Bernardino law enforcement officers, when asked by reporters, said that the guns used in yesterday's mass shooting, mass attack, were all legally purchased. And in your Globe op-ed, you write that our leaders in Washington joined us in mourning while they let the federal assault weapons ban lapse into non-existence.
Absolutely. And that's absolutely true. And I'm always glad that they take a moment to think about the survivors that we've lost, the victims that we've lost and the survivors that remain. We need to do that. But that's not going to stop it from happening again.
So there's also something important that you wrote in the Globe, and that is for those of us in the media, for those of us who weren't directly affected by a mass shooting, it's easy for us to say we have the tendency to define the victims by that last event.
Right. That is something that happens a lot, is we define victims by the choices that someone else makes. So we call them a homicide victim. We call them a mass tragedy victim, a shooting victim. They were a person who made choices about their own life, who impacted our world, that we should be defining them by. We do that with Shannon as being a 25-year-old woman who worked with individuals in Ecuador and tried to help impoverished families and help children and women. Those are choices she made. She didn't choose to die on December 30th. That's a choice someone else made.
And I'm sure families today in California and Colorado, and there was actually another shooting in Georgia that the media didn't seem to focus on as well, are all feeling very similarly. Well, Liam Lowney, thank you so very much for joining us. It's very much appreciated. I also just want to add that that you're executive director of the Massachusetts Office for Victim Assistance as well. And your sister, Shannon, just to remind folks, was one of those killed 21 years ago at the Brookline Planned Parenthood. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me here, Magna.